Alesso brofaski brikitia suseska brofeles abaraku teleski brafadiga jolime susarakiti seselimo faraski. Yesterday I said that in our consideration of this subject, that the government of God is expressed over the world as a whole. The government of God can be expressed particularly over those that are called by his name. Then I said that the government of God over those that are called by his name is expressed over his people as a corporate people, and can be expressed over his people in virtue of their individual standing with the Lord. So, God governs my life as a person, and God governs the church as a group, right? That those two are in the same category. This is part of how God governs his people. There's the individual side to it, and then there's the corporate side to it. That's on the side of his people. But then generally, God is the governor over the nations. And normally the language of nations, particularly from the Old Testament, in the Old Testament usage, that language is normally employed to reference the Gentiles, really. Okay? The Gentiles. There's always the your people and the nations designation in the Old Testament. And in those kinds of references, the nations would be a reference to the Gentiles. I'm basically saying that because God is a governor, and that word governor, obviously, you can tell the relationship between that word and government. It is the person who executes or who carries out the activity of governance or government that is the governor. So, and God is the governor over the nations, whether those nations are the nation of his people or not. But we said that particularly among his people, God exercises government. And that government can be individual, it can be personal, and that government can be corporate. Do we understand that? And this morning, my intent was to begin to show us what that personal, individual dimension of God's government would look like. But then we had need to make a kind of a detour. And in our detour, we began to look at the nature of the governmental, infrastructure, the governmental outlook, or the governmental infrastructure of God, the structure of the governmental protocol of God. And we said that God delights by the sovereign mercies of his nature to run some kind of a participatory government. And then in the world of spirits, which is the native world of God, there are functionaries, that there are spirits. Spirits, generally people like to consider spirits as angels. But I've taught you before that the word angel, properly speaking, is a job description. Is that okay? The word angel, properly speaking, is a job description. It does not really have an ontological referent. That means that it is a designation from an activity. It's not a proper designation of a nature or of an ontology, so that anyone can stand in this office, if you like, or in the role of an angel. In the Bible, both human beings and non-human beings are actually referenced as angels. Are you with me? Because it's an activity, is messenger, as it were. So, but I was trying to say that there are spirits. Those spirits, generally, people like to call spirits angels. Okay? People like to call spirits angels because generally they are service functionaries and or they are messenger functionaries that carry messages. So our teaching this morning was to say that in the world of spirits, angels are spirit, right? In the world of spirits, God is spirit. In the world of native spirits, that spirit world, which is God's native world of abode, is a world where God has a governmental structure that accommodates spirits. So there are spirits that God has decided to incorporate into the structure of his government. That in the way that I rule as God, I want these spirits to be part of my ruling infrastructure. And so we saw that there were situations where instructions in terms of what should happen, the exercise of authority, which is government, we saw that that exercise of authority or at some point proceeded from entities in the spirit that are not necessarily the supreme being. So we said that this matter is by the decree of the watchers, right? The matter is by the decree of the watchers. But then we later saw that this, the interpretation is that this is the decree of the Most High. So even though it was the watchers that were the original conceptors of that exercise or that judgment that was passed upon Nebuchadnezzar, because God himself approved of it, because God himself ratified it, it was attributed both to the watchers and to God. Are you with me? The clearer passage we saw was 1 Kings, I think chapter 22, and it was when Ahab was going to be killed. When Ahab was going to die, God sat in heaven as it was granted in that vision to Micaiah. And he said that he had seen the Lord sitting, and then the host, his host, were standing on his right side. All right? I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Then God himself now began to ask the question, who will persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? Almost as if to say, I mean, if God wanted Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead and fall, God knows exactly what to do, isn't it? So God does not ask for participation because God is at loss of what to do. It is just simply the fact that God wants to have his creatures, some of his creatures, participate with him in the exercise of authority and in the activity of governance. So God is asking this question like in a council setting and say, come, I want Ahab to fall at Ramoth Gilead. But which of you who is up for this? And then one will say after this manner and another said on that manner, right? And then, so that means that different persons were bringing suggestions. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, wherewith? That's how you're going to do it. And he said, the spirit said, I will go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said to him, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. So it was that what happened eventually, the method by which Ahab was led to go to Ramoth Gilead and to fall there was originally suggested by a spirit in the council of heaven. And when that spirit made that suggestion, God simply said, yeah, yours will work. That's the spirit whose suggestion was taken was not the first spirit that made the suggestion on the matter. Because from what you read, one person came up, one spirit came up and spoke after this manner, another spirit came up and spoke after that manner. It was just basically to tell you that there was a lot of suggestions being thrown out on account of this matter that the Lord had tabled before this council to say, who will go and persuade Ahab that he might go to Ramoth Gilead and fall there? So you see actual deliberations going on such that some proposals were not even accepted. And then some proposals, a proposal eventually was accepted. All of this is happening in the spirit. It's happening in the heavens where God himself is domiciled. That in the administration of the government of God over the earth, upon the face of the earth, the protocol by which that government filters into the earth involved this infrastructure of a council setting in the heavens that God desires and God likes to run a participatory government. If you are with me to that point, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, government, the spirit of government, the apparatus of government, the infrastructure of government, as it has to do with the throne of God, the dominion of God, the administration of God, we've seen now that it is kind of participatory. It is participatory. God wants to run a participatory government. God does not need to run a participatory government. God does not need to run a participatory government, but God wants to. That distinction must never be lost on you. God does not need anything at all. I can't say this enough, because sometimes we can start to let certain things go into our head. Like, you know, we are that important and all of that. It is just a position of privilege. And that privilege actually turns into a responsibility, because it may mean that because God has ceded, God has granted unto us that privilege, it may mean therefore that God might be willing to keep up with certain things that are not absolutely in consonance with his will in order to legitimize the fact that indeed he has put people in charge. Hello? When we looked at the Daniel chapter 4 situation, I was asking you the question, what if the watchers had not so decreed? What would have happened? Because until they decreed, it didn't look like God was going to do something about Nebuchadnezzar. Meanwhile, it was not to mean that Nebuchadnezzar's position, Nebuchadnezzar's behavior pleased the Lord. It did not please the Lord. But then, why wasn't God doing something about it until the watchers made a decree? It is because God was trying to legitimize the fact that indeed, he had given real responsibility, real privilege to the watchers, and that these functionaries can actually make a real difference in the outcomes of things. Which means that if you use this privilege right, it will have consequences. If you don't use it, it will have real consequences. It doesn't mean like, well, if you use it, fine. If you don't use it, God will just still do what God will do. You cannot think like that. If we are able to get there, I will show to you that one of the ways that we bring our participation in the governmental processes of God is by prayer. And one of the things that Jesus taught us in prayer, the prayer that we now call the Lord's Prayer, that model was for us to pray to the Lord, to the Father, and to ask him that his will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. That his will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. We'll probably get there. Now, this evening, I do not want to, there were like one or two other examples of that participatory thing that I wanted to show to us, but there are things that I've dealt with in different places at different times in the past. You just need to repurpose those teachings to, look at the governmental implications of them. And, I think I mentioned in the morning, the thing about Joshua, the high priest that stood and then Satan stood by his right hand. To what? To resist him. You remember the story in Zechariah? And the way that that proceeding went. Well, I don't want to go into all of that anymore. It's Zechariah chapter 3. And here, what would have been important here is the fact that the prophet Zechariah was not just a passive observer. In 1 Kings chapter 22, okay? In 1 Kings that we read, the prophet was a passive observer. The prophet did not make any particular impute into the proceedings that he was given opportunity to see in the court of heaven. But in Zechariah chapter 3, the person that saw this vision was also a part of the processes that he records for us. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. All right? And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Hello? This is one of those Old Testament Trinitarian passages. The first verse makes it look like it was an angel of the Lord. And then in the second verse, you are now seeing the Lord saying unto Satan, the Lord. If the Lord who was speaking is the one that was supposed to be doing the rebuking directly, how is that supposed to have read? I rebuke you. Do you get it? Don't worry. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you. If the one who is speaking is the one doing the rebuking, the Lord said unto Satan, I rebuke you, would have been the more appropriate thing. This is the Lord invoking the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Angel, Lord. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him, that's unto Joshua. So this personality spoke to the people that stood before him, saying, take the filthy garments from him. The him is what? Joshua, the high priest. So the Lord or this angel is speaking to those that stood before him and is commanding them to do something about the situation of Joshua. Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him, unto Joshua, he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I, who is the I now? Zechariah. The one who is seeing this vision says, and I said, let them set a fair meter upon his head. So they set a fair meter upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, if, thus says the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge, thou shalt also govern, thou shalt also rule, thou shalt also judge my house, and thou shalt also keep my courts, and I will give you places. I will give you places to walk among these that stand by. Remember those that stand by? Do you remember them? The ones that stand by were the ones to whom he said they should take. In verse 4, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him, right? Now he says, in verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. I will give you places to walk. I'll give you places to move among these that stand by. It was a promise of it was the promise of allocation of place. If you like, you can call it land allocation. But this land allocation that is being promised is not going to happen on the earth. This is land in the spirit. And they were speaking to a mortal man, Joshua the high priest, that if you meet certain conditions, I'm going to give you places. I'm going to give you places to walk among these ones that stand here. That even though you are a man, there are conditions that you can fulfill that will qualify you to be a landowner. You will have title deed to certain spaces in contemporary language. But in Bible language, it is places. And they started projecting this passage on the screen. That's how we got here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place. Did you see that? Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard the loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heaven, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. Now, when you look at the eighth verse, the seventh verse was where there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Okay? In verse 8, and prevailed not. So the dragon fought and his angels, but he did not prevail. That's number one. Apart from the dragon not prevailing, the Bible says, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. The moment they decided to initiate this rebellion against God, what happened was they lost. They lost. The day here is the dragon and his angels. But it was not just that they did not prevail. The Bible says, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And God was saying to Joshua, if you will walk in my ways, all right, and if you will keep my charge, he said that I will make you to judge my house and my court, and I will give you places to walk among these that stand by. Right? I'm talking to you about because I hinted at it in the morning to say that the government of God in the world of spirit is carried out in that council with spirit persons, spirit personalities that you may want to call angels if you want to simplify. But they are spirit. That's what the Bible says. The host of heaven and the one that came to speak whose proposal was adopted was simply called a spirit. That a spirit came forward and said, I will go and entice. Now, those spirits, they have a standing. They have places in the world of spirit in God's government where they operate from. Now, a priest was standing before the Lord. The enemy was trying to accuse this priest. And at the end of the day, part of what the Lord said to this priest was, to say, if you walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, you will also judge my house, and you will keep my court, and I will give you places, not just a place, I will give you places to walk among these that stand by. The these in context were largely what? They were spirits. When the dragon orchestrated that rebellion against God, part of the outcome of the failure of that mission and campaign was that he did not prevail. Neither was his place, neither was their place, not just the dragon, but the dragon and his angels. They did not prevail. Neither was their place, their place found anymore in heaven. And because their place was not found anymore in heaven, what happened? What happened to the dragon and his angels? And the great dragon was cast out. Why? Because it wasn't just that, well, you know, you lost this time around and then you say, okay, next time we'll see. No, there was not going to be any next time. He didn't just fail. They dispossessed him of his place. And because his place, their place was no more found in heaven, what happened was therefore that they had to evict him. And so the great dragon was cast out. Why? Because his place was not found anymore. He had no more a place. Meanwhile, God is making an offer to a human being and saying to that human being that under certain circumstances, I can give you places, not just a place. I can give you places to walk among these that stand by. And there's a strong correlation between this and what we saw in Revelation chapter 1 yesterday, as we look at the corporate component, where you remember that the revelator heard the voice behind him. The voice was behind him, such that he had to turn in order to see what was going on. And the explanation at the end was that the thing that was going on in the church. Because the seven golden candlesticks were what? The seven churches. And the seven stars that he had in his right hand were what? They were the angels of the seven churches. But this man that was in the spirit on this Lord's day had to look back in order to see what was happening in the church. I'm basically trying to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, on site and online, and I want to say this as solemnly as I'm capable of. I know it's in the afternoon here in Nigeria, and you know the weather is a bit hot, and you are fasting and all of that. But I want your spirit to come to terms with what I'm trying to say to you, that it is possible for a man to have such a standing in the presence of the Lord that you are not just a functional member of the church of Jesus Christ, of the ecclesia on the face of the earth, but that you are given participatory privilege and responsibility even in the very courts of heaven. I have showed you, at least, I've showed you an instance of such an affair. And in that same instance, I've also showed you a proposal, an offer that was being made to somebody to say, you know what? All things being equal, you can actually be a player here. You can be a stakeholder here. Because if you follow that story in Zechariah chapter 3, when the prophet said, then I said, let a fair meter be put upon his head. And I said, let them set a fair meter upon his head. Hear me. The man making this statement was indeed a man. This is the prophet Zechariah. And the prophet Zechariah is saying, let them put a fair meter. Who are they, them, that should put this fair meter? Who are they? Talk to me. Who are they? Who are they? Them that stood by. Those, the spirits. If you like, you can call them angels. This is a human being coming into their native abode. And He didn't come there to run errands. He came there so that errands could be run for him. The man stood in that place and said, set a fair meter upon his head. What happened? Nobody said, who are you? Is it because we allowed you to come here to see what's happening? You think you can also talk? Did anybody say so? No. The man was recognized in the realm. It wasn't just that spirits were running errands for him. The part that actually blew me off was the fact that at the end of the day, they did his own part before they did the part of the Lord. Give me verse 4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him. That's the Lord. What did he say? Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquities to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Did you see that? So they've said, take away the filthy garments from him. And he has told the guy that I want to clothe you with change of raiment. Verse 5 now said, and I said, let them set a fair meter upon his head. So they set a fair meter upon his head and clothed him with garment. Remember that before he said they should set fair meter upon his head, the Lord had already said change of garment, right? But when it came to execution, because as soon as the Lord was done speaking, he also said, also, while they are dressing him up, let them put a fair meter too upon his head. So that at the end of the day, when Joshua will show forth on the earth to perform his ministry, part of the authorities that Joshua will be wielding was the result of a contribution that a man made to his life in the realm. That the thing on the priest's head, because what the Lord ordained that they should give him was simply a cloth. It was a prophet that said, while you are trying to wear him a cloth, put a meter upon his head. Put a fair meter. Put a crown, a diadem on the man's head. So that this priest now will look. It was not aesthetics. I don't have time to go into all of that. It was not just aesthetics. The garment that was filthy was the reason why Satan had the place at his right hand. These were representation of the moral and spiritual status of the man. And when God was finally going to show mercy to this man, a man stood there and said, in addition to what God wants to give you, even me, I want to add something to you, a man. So I don't want this your hair to be bare anymore. You will have, let's just say you will have a cap. It's not like he brought the cap in his pocket. He was making demands on the storehouse of heaven. Say, let them set a fair meter upon his head. And the guys that stood by, they obviously said, yes, sir. So they went first and brought the fair meter and put on the man's head before they wore garment for him. And while all of that was happening, even the angel of the Lord did not, he stood by. He was, okay, that's fine. So, bro, when we say that God runs a participatory government by the sovereign discretion of his grace, in the realm, it is him and spirit. Down here, it is him and the church. But there are people who straddle both worlds. Are you with me? Are you with me? There are people who straddle both worlds. The way to enter into that, that was the possibility that was being advertised to Joshua in chapter, in verse 7, to say that there are things you can do. If you do them very well, we will give you a place here. When you come, you will not be standing in the dock, because this one, you don't have a place. You just came here for judgment. This was a court session, and they were about to determine the fate of the man. Satan stood by the man's right hand to say, this man's ministry can no longer continue because he is one of mine. How? Look at what he has on. And the way they helped was to relieve him, to take away those clothes, cause his iniquity to pass from him. And then they wore him another garment. I also want you to realize that Joshua, the high priest, concerning whom this protocol happened, may not have been aware that this was what he looked like, because he was not the one that saw this vision. This was not his experience. This was the experience of the prophet Zechariah. So, physically, the high priest, he had his priestly garment. It was not filthy. But in the realm, his garment was filthy. And I want you to know that the shape of things concerning you in the realm is the true status of your reality. Huh? Uh-huh. You see all those bishops that were... All right, let me leave Tinubu this afternoon. But you know those bishops, right? Now, you can go to Feringada and sew cassock. You can go and sew cassock from Feringada or Suruleri, and you can have a long chain with a crucifix. Satan is not scared of that one. Your reality is the shape of things in the realm. That's your real reality. And so while people are scrambling for, you know, color and all of that here, you may want to invest more in what goes on there. While people are doing all of that here, God is there advertising lands. People are here playing church politics. Meanwhile, God is advertising lands in the realm. And saying, guy, if you will walk in my ways, if you will keep my charge, I've tried to teach this before, but I've not taught it exhaustively. Because the conditions that were given here for people to be able to own land will be important for you to understand. Walk in my ways. Keep my charge. He says, if you do this, then thou shalt also, in addition to walking in my ways and keeping my charge, you will also judge my house and you will also keep my courts. And I will give you places to walk among these that stand by. If you want to be relevant, this is a place to want to be relevant. Hello? People get relevant in this place so much that they can inform, they can affect how much encounter other human beings can have. Huh? That encounter you had, you'd have just come back with Agbada. You know this one on your head now. I was the one that put it there. It's because of me that you have that one on your head. And this rod, this is your scepter that you are carrying now. I was the one also that was responsible for how it came to you in the realm. Because what God wanted to give you was just bare minimum, so that Satan will not harass you anymore. So that your cloth that was filthy, they just wanted to change it, give you a new one, then you go and grind. But because of my intervention, we have given mercy has been multiplied. The things you needed to grind to have, some of it you already now have because I put my mouth. I'm saying that if I want to be relevant, that is the place. I wouldn't be interested in playing all of the church politics, or maybe for some of us, it would be ministerial politics. Right? There's a way they play ministerial politics. Hello? Ministerial politics. Like this January now, there are certain people that if we took check or we did transfer, there's a way they do it, and we know how they used to do it. Huh? And then you go there, and then you go and drop something, and you submit, even though you are not submissive, but you submit. You call the person Papa, you drop something. Just make sure that your photographers are handy. And you kneel down. When Papa is putting hand on you, even though people think he's laying, then you now go on social media. And now say it was a privilege to be with a patriarch, and you know that kind of language. And say that thing. Then other people will say, Gideon! Hey! Gideon has entered Psychozo. Don't worry. I'm laboring for land. But it's not in that place. It's not there. That politics is very easy. Very, very easy. And that does not mean that we don't submit to people. We submit to people. But it's not the same thing as the politics. The people we submit to, they are people that we have history. We have history with them. Hello? I can even talk about my fathers. Those that know. It was because of my fathers that I came back from the UK by all means last year. Because my father said that I must attend the meeting on the 1st of January. So it didn't matter where I was in the world. I had to make sure that my ticket will bring me back to Abuja on the 31st. So I arrived on the 31st and then I hopped into a car on the 1st and drove to the village. But you know, if you want to do the politics at this point, if you are looking for something, you look for people that are looking like the thing. Isn't it? So, people had fathers in the Lord for 20 years. Then, when God started helping them small, they had to look for a higher grace. A lot of these arrangements you are seeing, they are political arrangements. A lot of what you see on the scene. And part of the things God said this year is that the shaking has not ended. We will all be here. So there's a real one, and then there's the political one. It's the political one we are saying that we will not do. We won't. It's a shortcut to nowhere. It's a shortcut to nowhere. Sometimes it is expired people promoting expired people. People whose candles have been put out in the realm. They still have their costume on the earth. Sometimes it is real men versus expired people. But there's always an expired personality in the mix. Otherwise, you will not be interested in the politics. Hallelujah. Yes, otherwise you wouldn't. They told this man, they say, see, there are places that we can give you here. In Revelation chapter 10, neither was his place found anymore. Neither was their place found anymore. in heaven. They used to have a place. They lost it. So people lose places. And when they lose places where it matters, they now need politics to try to gain places where it actually does not matter. Meanwhile, if you still want to have places there, there's a protocol in scripture. There are things you will do that you will get places there because we are not a dragon. Redemption is possible for mortals. Redemption is not possible for spirit for reasons that I've explained at another point before. I hope you know. There's a reason why when spirit sinned, it was sealed. When man sinned, he was redeemed. There's a reason. It's partly because man is the sort of being that God could become. And I gave you a second reason. It's because of the way that man was formed. And how that process was not perfected before the fall of man. So that God was able to find a window for redemption when he said, let us drive the man out of the garden, lest he also stretch forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the tentativeness, the temporality, the mortality of man was his saving grace in the day that he sinned. It was that he had not immortalized himself. All right? In his sin. And God drove him out of that garden to prevent that from happening so that there will be an opportunity to save the man. So even if you have lost your place, for mortals like you and I, there is a place for redemption and restoration. And the protocol to get him back is in the book. So why are people playing these games? Because every time we talk about church politics, people think it's just you that are like members. No, it happens at all levels. In fact, our own is more treacherous. And I can't tell you everything that I've been told in advice of how to do to turn things around. Like, you know, the thing you have, why you... I know somebody that can. Or all you need to do is just, we've heard those things. But we are hunting for land somewhere else. In Ephesians chapter 4, and I think it's verse 27, or maybe verse 28, or maybe verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Are you seeing the place again here? Mm-hmm. So, verse 26 says what? Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So, I'm saying that people can lose their place, like Satan lost his own. You can lose your own. But I need you to know that every time you lost your place, you lost it to the devil. And the reason why the devil is interested in your place is because he has lost his own. So he's not looking for place in your place. Satan is a vagabond by designation. Where are you coming from? From going to and fro the earth. So he's looking for place. And the instruction of scripture is, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Instead of losing place, you should be laboring to gain more place. Because for the believer, place is possible in their plurality. He says, I will give you what? Places. Places. So, when that happens to you, you know, you guys were the ones that led to this. It's the media people that took me away from my distance. They kept flashing Zechariah chapter 3 in my face, even though I said I was not going to touch it. Right? The places are in the plural form. So, you can have a multiplicity of places in the realm from which you can operate. So depending on the circumstance, you may have a place that corresponds to a certain matter, and you will speak from there. Then another day, something else comes up, and you stand in your place, in one of your places in the spirit, and you bring government to bear from your place after that order. Then something else may happen, and you will need to beckon on somebody else, because you know that somebody else has a place in this one. Huh? But you are still aspiring. So what do? You call the person that has a place there. His voice is a key in a way that your own is not. Let me just conclude all of that by saying to you, by advising you in the word of scripture, that you should labor for meat that does not perish. Because all of us are laboring, no? Hello? Even that politics is not easy. The game is not... The game is not easy. It's not easy. Those that are struggling, sometimes even their church members are dragged into it because they need to raise a worthy seed that they will use to impress. You understand? They may have like 4 targets on their list. Even some of the times, even the way they preach sometimes is part of the politics. When you preach and you fan one father, you fan the person. You know what it means to fan the person? You talk about the person in good light, you know. So that the people that are his own demography in the Christian community, they will just suddenly start liking you because you like their papa. Your followers will be increasing like that. Then you will pick another papa and say some very good things about the papa. We know the politics. Are you with me? Okay. Let me stop talking to you about our own thing. Let me be telling you about your own. It is the church politics. I was just trying to say that there is church politics, there is also ministry politics. That was all. And I didn't want to bore you about church politics because people are already playing it. So I wanted to let you know. I wanted to let you know the one that happens in our own area. You know now me, I cannot lobby so that they can make me deacon or head of ushering, that kind of thing. But it doesn't mean that I am delivered from the temptation to lobby. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. By the way, if you come to the house and you are not part of the workforce, you are not very right. Just so that you know, it was on my mind. I was going to say it at the end of the service. Even those of you online, you can join the prayer unit. They pray online many times. The other unit you can even join, even if you are not on the ground. If you are part of the fortress family, you should be in the workforce. The way it's looking, I see everybody just come, everybody just goes, and it's like nobody knows you, and it's like nobody cares for you. It's not exactly easy like that. And then you know me, I'm not always around, right? There used to be, like last month, I drove from Makurdi into Doctrine and Power. I finished preaching on Thursday evening in Makurdi, and then left on Friday morning to drive to come and preach here. So, but if you join a workforce, number one, you will be working. And number two, it will help to entrench you into the community. You will not be floating. So if you are not part of the workforce, whether you are online or you are on site, I'm not saying you are wrong. I'm just saying that you are not very right. If you are still here, say amen. All right, so that's a small practical application to that. So whatever you do, I said my summary is labor not for meat that perishes. Don't labor for meat that perish. We are all laboring. Just make sure you are not laboring for the one that perishes. I would love to see us grow as individuals in our ranking and in our stature, such that when things are happening, when we are doing counseling, and we do a lot of that, when people are calling, that it should be very easy for me to recommend people to people. To say, if it's this issue, you didn't need to have called me. I will now connect the person to you. Because I know you have a place. I know that this is this guy's jurisdiction now. It's just that they don't know. And those of you that are close, I know your places. And those of you that all you have is a place, I also know. Because every believer has a place. At the very least, you have a place. Those of you that have places, I know. I wouldn't be your leader if I didn't know. And at least in your own private, even some of you that are online, I know. Sometimes I don't need more than a handshake, one handshake. Let's leave the matter so that you'll not be looking at me suspiciously. But but by the mercies of God, it will not be appropriate. Even God knows that it will not be right if we don't know things. There are things that we should know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when we finish from, I don't know why, I don't even know what is going on. I shouldn't be telling you all these things. Sometimes, hello. You see, where we do Tuesday, where we do Ignite on Tuesday. Now, the people that know, now we know. Sometimes when I'm coming up to go and preach, I used to have my car key. And sometimes I used to have my earbud, right? I will gather them and put it into somebody's hand. Who I put those things in their hands is not even arbitrary. But you will not know. You just collect it. After service, I'll stretch my hand, you drop my things inside. Then we'll take readings. Don't worry. You know, Alf. Hello. Hello. You see, people that know what I'm talking, they know what I'm talking. All right? And even after those Tuesday meetings, I used to greet some people, hi. I used to shake some people without talking. I used to shake some people and also talk. Nothing is arbitrary. Yes. If I shake you, it has meaning. If I don't shake you, it has meaning. If I talk, it has meaning. If I shake without talking, it has meaning. Otherwise, I will not be your leader. Now, part of the implication of that, just because this is a little bit of a kitchen, whatever, but we are doing this. Part of the implication for that is that it's not very healthy for you to be too far. Let me do application for you. It's not very healthy for you to be too far. If I've never asked you what is your name, you are too far. Are you with me? Yes. So, that I'm trying to help you the way God helped us in Hebrews chapter 13. He had said that we may boldly say. So let me tell you part of what you're supposed to do with this kind of thing. After now, take dressing. When we close this evening, some of you should walk up to me and say, excuse me, sir, my name is, and tell me your name. That was not meant to be funny. I'm giving you life-saving instructions. Because I don't want Meanwhile, there's no plan to leave any of you behind. Because what is coming, it will come for all of us. You don't understand. Whether you're excited or not, the thing that is coming, it will come for all of us. There is a season that is coming upon us. And part of what is happening this year is the development of capacity and capabilities to be able to manage what God wants to give. And I'm saying that on that day, you will not be part of the people we will be managing. You will be part of the managers. So there is no plan to leave you behind. That must be the only reason why God is opening. I don't even know why I'm telling you the things I'm telling you right now. Because it's not, you know, my people say that the hands and the feet of the snake, they are inside his belly. Huh? The hands and the feet of the snake, they are inside his belly. That means not everything you show outside. What that means, what our people are trying to say is that even though you are looking at a snake like that, it's not that it does not have hands, and it's not that it does not have feet. It's just that they are inside his belly. So, you know, sometimes we don't say a lot of spooky things and all of that. Just because, I mean, we see no need for it. But it does not mean that there are no instruments with which we navigate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes when people with bad intentions are planning to come into our midst, I would know before they come. I'm not going to tell you this part because you will misunderstand it. No. Glory to God. All right, so let's get on with this. What is the summary of this, our first lesson? Labor not for meat that perishes. And you know that instruction is original to Jesus. You remember? It was Jesus that said to labor not for meat that perishes. If you are going to invest labor, invest it in where it will really count. And the only place where it counts is among these that stand by. Labor to have a name there. Labor to have places there. The impact of your place and places in that place, it will be manifest on the earth, even if it's not recognized. People will be enjoying provisions that your place in the realm makes available, even if they don't know that it was courtesy of your labors that they have the opportunity for such enjoyment. But you see, the only person who must know will know. And that is the one who rewards. If you are still here, say amen. Now, you have February, you have March. We are still fasting because some of you are looking very miserable right now. And you're like, all of these things, when are we going to? Don't worry. A lot of you that are looking at me, you are someplace, you are, where you are is more than where you think you are. All right? It's just not obvious to you yet. Line must be upon line. Precept must be upon precept. Here a little, there a little. The things of God are incremental. God normally doesn't just, you know, hit you, boom, like that in the face. No, they are incremental. The day that the boom will happen, it will just be like the final straw that breaks the back of the camel. Before that straw breaks the back, there has been many attempts. It's like the drop with which a cup overflows. That drop would be useless if it was not that there has been feelings and feelings and feelings, but nobody will know that anything is in the cup. It will take one final drop. And then it starts to overflow. Yes, it has been, precipitation has been coming in for 3 years. suddenly. Ha! And they were shocked that these are ignorant and unlearned men. And they marveled. Ah, then they remember that they had been with Jesus. They don't understand what those 3.5 years had done in the lives of these guys. But suddenly, it looked like suddenly. So suddenly, it looks like suddenly, they had become superstars in God. No! There was a meticulous, rigorous process that they were subject to. And many times, it didn't look like much. Even to the very dying minute of the days of Jesus on this side of the divide, they were still looking very, very hopeless. And looking very, very irresponsible. All of them deserted him, except one. One went to the extreme so badly that one didn't come back. He went all the way and hung himself. They needed special instruction for another one to come back. So he said, go and tell his disciples and Peter. Because Peter himself had written himself out. So if they had just simply said, he said they should tell his disciples, Peter would not have showed up. So for Peter to know he was still in the number, they said, tell his disciples and Peter that they should go and wait for him. Ah! So I can imagine how Peter felt when he heard his name. That this was not a general instruction. Because the other 10 can say, okay, it's us, it's called. But Peter that intentionally denied Jesus. There was no way he could count himself in the number anymore. Do you know that all of those people, it was less than 2 months after that miserable, terrible outing, all of those people were burning with fire. It was 50 days after that event. They had become terrific instruments in the hands of God. But I want you to know that thing that happened suddenly on the day of Pentecost, it had a quiet, slow build-up that didn't look like much for about 3.5 years. In fact, one day they were so despondent. They were frustrated. They said, Master, why could we not? Why could we not? So I'm trying to say to you, keep grinding. Keep grinding. He that will come, will come. Are you there? He that will come, will come. He that will come, will come. Very vital instructions that I've given you this afternoon that are off script. I'd like for you to take them seriously. The Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Okay. So let me try to do this because we have a very serious ceremony before us in a short time. By the time you come into the kingdom of God, you'll be looking at the personal and you'll be looking at the corporate, right? The personal and the corporate. And I want to show you a little bit of what that personal component or category looks like. It's very likely that I'll continue the teaching on Tuesday. It's very obvious. Let's read Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Those of you that have followed my teaching for a bit, I've told you that when you receive the Holy Spirit, the first thing that the Holy Spirit brings into your life is what? Is what? Government. Oh, wow. Are you a completely new set? All right. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, the first thing that the Holy Spirit brings to your life is government. If you have heard me say that before, let me see your hand. Of course, you should have heard me say that before. The first thing the Holy Spirit brings into your life is what? Is government. Luke chapter 4 is an account that continues from the baptism of Jesus. So Jesus is baptized in the Jordan. And as Jesus Christ was baptized in the Jordan, what happened was that a voice came from the heaven. And that voice said, what? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit of the Lord descended bodily in the form of as of a dove and settled upon him. Then that voice came. And the voice said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now, The Bible says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, so this Holy Spirit that descended on him as he was coming out of the Jordan after his baptism, praying, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led. And was led. And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, the phrase that is very important here is, and was led. The antecedent to his being led is being full of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ was full of the Holy Spirit, the first thing that the Holy Spirit did was to bring direction, was to impose government. Whether you are looking at the Markan account or the Matthew account or the Lucan account, the language is very forceful. In Mark chapter 1, verse 12, right? In Mark chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, if you find Mark chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, okay, let's read from verse 11. Let's see what 11 says. Okay, let's see what verse 10 says. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. All right. So the Spirit comes and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What happens next? And immediately the Spirit driveth him. The language is a forceful word. In fact, there is almost like a violent connotation to this language of driveth him. If you check if you have a lexicon. Now, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Then what happened in verse 13? And he was there. Let me hear you say, and he was there. So there is the imposition of government by the Spirit, and then there's a submission to that government by the Lord. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness and he did not revolt and he was there. This is how the circuit of government is complete. That there will be intentional, deliberate, personally, and willing submission and agreement with the leadership and governance impulses of the Spirit. The Spirit driveth him into the wilderness and he was there in the wilderness. The same wilderness into which the Spirit drove him. He was there in that wilderness. But my point is to say to you that when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, the first thing the Holy Spirit brings is what? His government. Is the exercise of authority. So that your life is now given direction. Your life is given a perspective. Your life is given a purpose. Your life is given not just a responsibility. Your life is given, if you like, an identity. All right? Your life is given a burden that is particular to Jesus. That is particular to the Spirit. I mean to say. So the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. I believe that left for Jesus, all right? When you come for baptismal service, I don't think that in your mind you'll be hoping that after baptism, I go into the bush. Yes, that's not how it works, right? That's not how it works. Jesus came from somewhere. He came from the carpenter's shed to come and be baptized. But after that baptism, it was part of what he was telling Peter, that when you were young, you dressed yourself, you did whatever you wanted, you went wherever you wanted, but a day is going to come when somebody else is going to dress you, and they are going to take your hand and lead you to a place that you will not. And the Bible said by that, they were talking about the way that Peter should die. To say that when you are much younger, when you are immature, you know, you can do your thing, you can say your thing, you can go where you want, you can, you know, eat what you want, you can wear what you want. When I see people that do what they want, it tells a tale out of the heavens. It's a tale of government. The tale of government is a story of government. If your lifestyle is still determined by your age, cohort. Lizzo, let me not come and be dressing like one mama. All right? Now, because you don't want to dress like a mama, that's not why you're dressing like a mama water. Because when I see the way that some Christians dress, both brothers and sisters, it almost sometimes I'm almost tempted to believe those people that used to say that some fashion is mami water that used to design them and then they send them to show the market. When I see the way some guys dress, so somebody has it. I don't know. Well, it's been a while now. But is it sagging? They used to call that thing. Yes. So people buy trousers that are clearly not their size so that they can sag it. How does it not make it likely that actually papi water exists? Because in the bid to not dress like a papa, you should not dress like a papi water. There is something called Christian. Your dressing should be Christian. So when you see a Christian who is still in charge, like, I do what I want to. Me, I wear what I want to wear. You know, I wear whatever makes me comfortable. Have you heard that language before? Say, I wear whatever makes me comfortable. I don't want to go there today. Even if it is true, it is still wrong. Because I bet you that if you only wear what makes you comfortable and you go where makes you comfortable, if that was the way these things were done, Jesus would never have been in the wilderness. It is government. It is that when the Spirit of God comes into the equation of your life, the first thing the Holy Ghost brings is what? Government. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That's government. And I don't know how to impress this upon you before we pray. But I am hoping that by the merciful operation of the Spirit of God, that you will be open to the possibilities that will be open to you on account of a disposition that is open to God. That you are saying, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to you. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would that withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Talks about taking my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my heart and make it thine. There is a beauty that is in government. But that beauty is made evident when government receives submission. And the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness and he was there. He didn't come up with, circumstantial excuses, weather circumstances, because if you look at the language here, this person went into the water. He was baptized. And the last time I checked, water used to be wet. Yes. It's part of the nature of water that it is wet. Jesus went into the water and was baptized. And the Bible said, and as he was baptized, and everything happened, and as he came out of the water. Give me verse. And immediately the Spirit driveth. No, give me verse 11. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my son in whom I am well pleased. All right. And what happened after that? And immediately, the spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Somebody will say, excuse me, sir. Let me go home and pick some change of raiment. Jesus came out of the waters. As he was coming out of the waters, the spirit said, I'm the one in charge now. And the direction for today is what? Wilderness. The water was dripping. 40 days. No change of raiment. 40 days. Huh? No lunch pack. 40 days. No toothpaste. 40 days. Can I go on? No deodorant. 40 days. Huh? No aloe vera gel, or I don't know what you people use these days. 40 days. No mascara. 40 days. No foundation. No eyeliner. 40 days. Of course, even if he was not there, there would be no APC. But 40 days. Huh? And so that thing he wore when he came out of the waters, it dried on him. Because there was no gap between coming out of the waters and going to the wilderness. Did you see the word? And immediately, the spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness. Listen to me. Hear me now. One of the ways that God processes authority and power in his people is government. The reason why God establishes government over yourself is because God wants to reign in, he wants to reign in part, he wants to reign in your appetite. And the more you lose to God, the more God can release to you, because it is an inverse relationship, that as you are losing, God is gaining, such that that diminishing of your personal idiosyncrasies and personal everything, it kind of gives God, if you like, more confidence in your malleability, which increases your usability. That is to say, because this person is submitted to my government, I am more confident. That's why you notice that. Hello? You notice that people normally make committal to other people, depending on the level of trust. Right? There are people I know that, and there are people in this place, all right, quite a number of people actually, that are in this place, that my primary ATM card, my primary bank card, there are quite a number of people here that know the PIN. I know that GT will come after me one day and say, hey, but you say you give people. Don't worry. You can't steal money from my account, right? Hello? Yes. Even if you succeed, you will not succeed. But you can't steal money from my account. Now, there are people who know my ATM card, who have my ATM, who know the PIN to my ATM card. Hello? Even though I know people still do ATM transaction and that kind of thing. Part of the thing is, for instance, is a burden, but you may not know that it's such a burden. If somebody gave you their ATM card and they said, please help me withdraw 20,000, okay? You would assume that the person knows that he has 20,000 in order to give you the ATM card, isn't it? So that was not an instruction to go and check my balance for me. But you see, when you stand there by that ATM, you may have a moment of personal conflict. Like this account says, how much is inside like this? Right? Like, like this account now, how much is inside like this? Meanwhile, that's your business. Trust is a burden. Trust is a burden. God does not repose it on everybody casually. This is part of the reason why your submission to government, it increases your odd with God. So there are things with which God can trust you because of the level of submission that you bring to the table. Are you following what I'm doing? Yes, it is that submission many times will hold the key to certain releases that the Lord can make or that the Lord will never make. I don't know where I was that I was saying, you know, sometimes, I think it was in Makurdi, when I was trying to draw that distinction between the Holy Spirit and power. And I said that the Holy Spirit can come into your life with his power, but you will not see it. You will see him, but you will not see it. You will see the Holy Spirit, you will not see the power. He will put his power, like I said, he will put it under his armpit. And say, let's be friends first. You will not, is it this power? It will take a while before you smell it. Let's just be going. Let me watch you. And I'm saying that your submission to the processes of government, it increases your odd positively with the Holy Spirit. It increases your trustability, your trustworthiness. Because if you are submitted to the leading and the government of the Holy Spirit, it means that anything else that is in your custody will be under the same influence. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit knows that is like that, my ATM card example. There are people that, if he gives me his card, there are people that have bad intentions. That is why they will not see it. It is the exact people that will not misuse it that we have the honor of having it. That's how it works. There are certain dimensions of power and grace that you think that if you have it, you will use it to do vendetta. All those people that used to think that we're just wasting our time by praying. Hey, if God just give me small anointing like this, I will just make him blind for 6 hours first. Let him know that it pays to serve Jesus. I'll just make him blind for 6 hours first. Then I say, guy, how far? You see, Bab, if them born you well, open the eye and make I see. Just so that the person will know that all those Tuesday you are doing this one, weekend you are doing that, you are going for VG, you are doing 10 hours. Let the person know that it was not in vain, that finally God has picked my phone call. Can I tell you, when God actually finally picks your phone call, that impulse to make a point would have died in the process. Would have died. Have died. People will now be looking at you and say, I don't know why this guy is like this. If God give me half of it, what I would have done is a lie. Before them also we come to the point where God will give them half of it, they will not be the same person anymore. Government, it increases your odds positively with the Holy Spirit. It increases your trustability, your trustworthiness. And I'm saying to you that when the Holy Ghost comes, the first thing he brings is what? Government. He will bring the rule of the heavens. Thy kingdom come. That's your government. I already told you in the morning that kingdom, rule, throne, administration, these are all synonyms for the government of God. Thy kingdom come. When you are saying that, you are asking that the rule of God should come. And if that kingdom comes, if God answers that question, that prayer, and he comes into your life, it will take over the ruling of your affairs, and you will now be required to submit. And the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there. And the rest, as they say, is history. By the time his time in the wilderness was over, and it was now, and he was set to go out, the way he came in was no longer the way he went out. Right? The Bible tells us in that Luke chapter 4, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Alright? The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he was there 40 days. And in those days, he did eat nothing. Now, the Bible tells us at the end of that whole temptation protocol in Luke chapter 4, I think in verse 13, that Jesus Christ now returned. These technical people, when you get used to them, then they disappoint you. Now, verse 13 said, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. I've dealt with this before. This was how Jesus Christ actually went from spirit to spirit and power. When he was going into the wilderness, the thing that was in the picture was spirit. Verse 1. And Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit in verse 1. In verse 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit with which he was full in verse 1. In verse 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. I mean to say, verse 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. But in verse 1, he went full of the Spirit. Now, it's not only spirit, it is now the power of the Spirit. So, that thing that I said the Spirit can put inside his armpit and say, I won't give you now. By the time Jesus was coming out of the wilderness, he had both the Spirit and then they had released that thing for him. And for Jesus, it was released without measure. So, the Bible now says in Romans chapter, in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says from verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ... Here's one of those very interesting progressions. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, is the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you. So we've gone from the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, now he is called Christ. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Why? For as many as are led, is the same word in the Greek that you have in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. All right? For as many as are led by the Spirit, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Remember how it was with Jesus. With Jesus, the Spirit descended upon him and a voice came from heaven. And what did the voice say? The voice established his sonship. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit led him into the wilderness. As soon as his sonship was declared, the next thing that happened was that the Spirit that came upon him came. After the Spirit came, sonship was declared. And after sonship was declared, government began. Graphically. And Romans chapter 8 is saying to us that as many as are led by the Spirit, They are the sons of God. Sonship guarantees government. Government is proof of sonship. So when you now see the Spirit led him into the wilderness, before that happened, sonship had been established. It's the same protocol in Romans chapter 8, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It is sons of God that the Spirit of the Lord leads. So when they said, when God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," the next thing that happened was government. Because if you are the Son of God, you will be led, you will be governed by His Spirit. Everyone that is governed by the Spirit of God is a son of God, is government. And your responsibility in that regard will be compliance. I was trying to pray a prayer for you that God will help you. I don't have exact language now, but let me attempt. I'm saying that God will help you, that God will open up your valves. God will open you up in your spirit. God will loosen you up. That God will throw you up and down. That God will move you around. That God will shake you. Whatever God needs to do, if there are stiffness, if there are areas of stiffness, that God will lubricate your joint. Whatever God needs to do to make you open to the possibilities of the government of the Spirit, that He will do it. Because continual compliance with that government makes God favorably disposed to a man. I didn't want to use the word vulnerable. Huh? There are issues that will come to you very effortlessly from the Lord once God is sure that He has your heart. And I'm saying to you that it is also one of the obvious proof of sonship is government. If the Spirit of God does not govern you, I need you to know that you are not one of His. The influences of the Holy Ghost are not just suggestions in context. I'm talking about government. In Mark, it was, "He driveth him." Government is the rule of God. That God sits over your life by His Spirit as a monarch spirit. That your life is ordered by decrees. 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 I told you the story. I was in secondary school when the Lord came to me and said to me never to play games until I hear again from Him. That was how I stopped. Now you see, those days there was no GSM, so we didn't have Candy Crush, and I don't know why people play these days. They used to play Angry Birds before. I think it's expired now. All right. We didn't have Candy Crush. We didn't have Subway Surf. We didn't have Temple Run. And all of the things that you guys are doing now. I know that I'm not very current in that regard. But even now that embargo has been lifted, I don't have, my children are here, they can tell you. There's not a single game on this my device. My phones don't have games. It's not even a matter of like I don't play. It's not there. Am I saying games are wrong? No. Moderation. You can use them to moderation. Right? But I was in secondary school when the Lord came to me and said to not play games ever until I hear back from Him again. Those days we used to play what? We used to play Ludo. Alright? What is a card game. Play what? Play Ludo. And in the village we used to play Iche. I don't know how you people used to call it. That thing that you have like holes. Huh? Aha, that thing. Then there's draft. You know draft? Yes, draft is village chess. We have draft. All of those games, God said, don't. It was normal life with people in my state, in my stage, in my age, and in my location. But you know, that freed me a lot. It freed me. So I had a lot of like, in quote, free time. That free time went, plenty of it, went into Bible study and prayer. When I was growing up, it looked as if there was really not a lot. So sometimes I can be in my room, the big queue where I used to stay. I can be in that big queue for 8 straight hours. It has affected me till today. You may not know, but normally, in my normal estate, people are a nuisance. I am in my normal estate as a believer, as I am like this, without effort. I feel lonely when people are around me. I'm alive when I'm alone. Because when you're around me, I need to accommodate myself to you. I put a lot of things on hold. Huh? To be able to, I don't have a better word. Okay, to accommodate your presence, I don't use the word tolerate. The moment you are out of that equation, I resume what I was doing before you came. I don't have a dull moment. That's why I used to tell people that if the Christianity they sold to you is boring, it was a wrong version they gave you. So those days we used to sing, "It is my Lord and I walking together on this holy journey." I know that by experience, by the mercies of God, my Lord and I. My Lord and I, my Lord and I, my Lord and I. Then I say, "What are you saying now?" Yes. It's like, that's perpetual habitation. What are you saying now? Now. What are you saying now? And believe me, if you step into that place and you ask that question, you will hear what he's saying now. For me, some of those disciplines were developed as the byproduct of compliance with government. Government. And when God is bringing those rules to you, many times he doesn't tell you why. It's an instruction. If he's a king spirit, he needs to be obeyed without explanations. So I went for many years. And when I say many years, I mean many years. Maybe somewhere close to like 2 decades from that point. Before God lifted that embargo. By the time God lifted that embargo, the appetite itself had died. Like, now that I can play game, there is no need. Like, God, don't worry. There's no need. So occasionally, I try. I don't know how you call it, you know, like family, whatever. So do something that everybody can participate in. But if it is that me, I carry my phone, it's not possible. None of my devices since I started buying phone, except those days when, you know, those phones that used to have snake, this thing, that one, I don't used to know how you can remove it. But since I started using smartphone, if it is possible to move out games from inside, I moved it out. Damn games. Not because it's a sin. Not even because it is now prohibited. But I lived under the government of a prohibition that when it was lifted, the appetite had basically died. And there are many of you listening to me. You will not know how much progress you will make in God. Huh? If 90% of your gaming dies. Because there are people listening to me that are slaves of games. Slaves. You don't like the word, but that's what it is. You are slaves. If you get into keke, next thing is your game. You are going from here to Abuja, you carry power bank so that you will be able to be playing your game till you arrive. I can tell you this one confidently, an enemy has done this. And that's not to say you should not play games. It is this thing I'm describing, it is not healthy. If God can succeed, because there are some of you that there are things that He has intended to bring upon you, but you have rebelled. He even drove you there, but you didn't stay there. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are many things in your personal life that the Spirit of God brings to you that are not suggestions. They are not promptings. You can tell when an instruction, when an obligation is being laid upon you. You can tell. I hope you know. You can tell. There are times when it was the distinction I've been trying to make that I've not found word to make it. That distinction is that, you see, there's a way the Spirit of God leads you. The leading of the Holy Spirit is a form of government, but it is slightly different from what I'm trying to explain to you. What I'm explaining to you are decrees and obligations. Are you with me? They are decrees and they are obligations. And the leadings of God is a means by which God exercises His government over your life. But the input in that leading will be what makes the difference most of the time. When God gives a decree, when God lays an obligation upon you, it is an act of the exercise of His authority. Are you with me? It's an act of the exercise of His authority. And the exercise of authority is government. Now, however, there are moments where you have a followership obligation. And the followership obligation is because you are led. That's what it is, leading and following, isn't it? Yet, in context, leading can be a form of government. It can be a form of the administration of the government of God. But because I don't have the word with which to make that distinction, it is not looking like I'm pitching leading against leading. But in the organics of your experience, you know the difference. There were things that came upon you, and you know that this does not have any, what do we call it? There is no margin, right? It does not leave you any margin. The margin is what? Allowance, yes. There's no latitude for alteration or for modification or some. There were instances where you brought certain things to God and it was almost as if God didn't say anything. Isn't it? And the sense you felt was almost as if, if you want to do this one, it's fine. If you want to do that one, it's fine. There will be occasions like that in your life. And then you will meet your friends or somebody and then you will tell them, you know that it is almost as if God is asking you to say, what exactly do you want in this matter? Then you now say what you want. Even though you'll be pretending not to want to say it. You still say what you want. And then it looks like God is fine with it. I've known people. Okay. Remember when God came to Solomon and asked Solomon to ask him what he wants? Then Solomon made a request. And God said, well, for as much as you have not asked for this and for this and for this, but this is what you have asked for, I will give you what you have asked. And even the one you have not asked, I will also give you. Which means that even the one Solomon did not ask was not wrong to have asked. Are you with me? It means God could have given those ones to him if those were the ones he had asked for. What might just happen might be that what Solomon actually asked for in reality may not have been added with the riches. But because you are not asking for riches and wealth and the head of your enemies, but you have asked for the wisdom and all of that and discretion to guide me, I will give you the wisdom and all that. And the riches you have not asked for, I will also give you. So, there wouldn't have been a wrong request in that context between what Solomon asked and what God said Solomon could have asked that Solomon did not ask. Do you get my point? So there are narrow areas like that where you have a margin. So that even though the Lord will lead you, the import of that leading, at least the way you feel it, is different from when the leading is an act of government. When it's an act of government, you know, it has this kind of life and death orientation. Does anybody know what I don't know how else to explain this thing. It has like a life and death obligation. It looks as if you don't do this thing, we almost feel like your relationship with God is over. Have you ever had that kind of experience? It's not like a life and death situation, but it looks as if this matter, if you don't do it, you are not my friend again. You know how children used to say, then you refuse to give me your sweet, you are not my friend again. And then they will walk away and come back after 5 minutes. This one, you will know that it is eternal separation. That's the way it will feel like. It's not like 5 minutes later it will come back. That is the way you feel. That does not mean that that's what will happen, but that's the impression it makes on you. Meanwhile, he's like, but God was just trying to lead me. Why is it looking as if this one now is looking like my life depends on it? Yes! Yes! Your life depends on it. And listen to me. If you don't do well in this matter of personal government, if we don't, our corporate governing rank will be so low when we gather together. Some of you will be the reason why our word will not have as much efficacy as you should have in the realm. Because when you entered into our concourse, you diluted our essence. You diluted our ranking. That's what I mean. And then at a personal level, you know, there are some of you that looks as if Satan doesn't used to hear your voice. Huh? Jesus! You say, will you stop making noise? Then the thing will press you more. It's because you don't used to hear word. That's why they don't used to hear your word. You know, some of you don't used to hear word. Eh? You don't used to hear word. When God is talking, you have 1,000,001 excuses. Why it cannot happen? That's, you are already creating a data bank of excuses. Satan will also fetch from it. In the day that you'll be the one who is in need of immediate compliance. You know, the name of Jesus. They say the Jesus that you used to obey or not. Get out. So everybody's calling Jesus. Even you are shouting. And I'll push you more. And you now come and be telling man of God. You say you don't know why this is happening to you. It's like the more you pray, the more they are pushing you. Yes. You are not a man under authority. But you want to have people under your authority that you can say, go, and they will go. Come, and they will come. No. You are not the one that sits over the cycle of the earth. So if you are not properly aligned to that government, the things, like I said to you yesterday, when man rebelled against God, creation rebelled against man. There's a weakening of your spiritual authority that happens when you don't comply with government. And it is not the fault of God. It's just the way that the realm is. That man that was that had a child that was sick, when Jesus was supposed to come out here, he said, no, sir. You don't need to come under my roof. He said, for I also am a man under authority. That's how it began. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And to one I say, go, and he goes. And to the other I say, come, and he comes. So he said that if you just speak a word, all right, I know that the thing that is disturbing my child, if you tell that thing to go, the thing will go, because I know the way authority works. My ability to tell one go and he goes, and another one come and he comes, is because me, I am under an authority. So it is a reference. It is a compliance with the authority that I am under. That is what makes these things comply to me. You know, any day that you lose, have you seen, maybe you may not have seen, but I have seen men, you know, in the army, you have men and officers, right? If you are not yet commissioned, you are a man. Private, lance corporal, corporal, sergeant, they are called men. Then when they commission you, you are an officer. So in the military, you have the men and officers of the armed forces. Now, you may be an officer, commissioned, and then you retired. Then one day you are driving on the road. Policeman will stop you. Then when you try to tell them that this is who you are, they say, oh God, even if you are a military person that retired, there's a reason why they put us here on the road. You know that those kind of things used to happen. Have you seen it happen before? If that person was still in the military, they will forget that even though you are a military man, they put us for road. They will forget it. The reason they are saying that now is because you are now retired. Are you with me? When you were in active service, of course, you see, even when you are retired, there is a certain level of respect that they give to you, right? I'm simply saying that that respect is not what it used to be. When you were in force, it was not just respect. Their life actually depended on it. Oh, you don't know? Oh, you don't know? See, a military man in active service, can order an entire checkpoint inside the hillocks behind him and take them to jail. Just go and keep them in the guard. They move them from checkpoint. Oh, you don't understand how the military works. That vehicle that follows him, he can say, hey, he can call these guys and say, round them up. Put you people, you will go from doing checkpoint. You will climb hillocks. They will take you to guard room. That's how they used to call it. They call it guard room. Huh? That guard room is what they are calling guard room. It's guard room. But it's guard room. They will take you to guard room. Your wife will not even know where you are. They take you there. If your hair is grown like my own, they will remove it. And the blade they use is not razor blade. It's knife. That man does that because he's a captain in the military. When he retires, he doesn't have the same level. He cannot wield the same influence anymore. That's the point I'm trying to make. That what makes those guys at the checkpoint to honor and respect him like that is because he is actively under the authority of the government of the nation. So it is in your best interest to comply with what? With government. Are you with me to this point? And when you know that distinction that I'm trying to draw, that I'm having a hard time drawing it, the sense is actually the sense of imposition and the way that it seems to threaten your standing with God. It almost threatens your standing with God. It's like, if you don't do this thing, it's a declaration of war against me. Yes, you felt it before. And sometimes it was as simple, as giving somebody 100 naira, 100 naira. Sometimes it's as simple as wearing a different shirt instead of the one that you had purposed to wear. Hello? And me particularly, most times when I run teachings along this line, it comes back to haunt me, like almost immediately. The last one, I was just laughing because I realized what God was trying to do to me. I laughed because I was trying to negotiate something because of how convenient it was. Then he reminded me and said, you were the one that was just teaching 2 days ago. And I laughed. Sometimes it's the leading. Just leading. But when the leading is an instrument of government, it feels very different. There will be like the sense of dire consequences will follow. And the way the consequences will begin is like, you will not see my face again. No. Listen, I'm telling you, if you don't do it, you will not see my face again. And when you disobeyed, you realize how much you lost your peace. And it wasn't just that you lost your peace. Even that confidence that you used to have, small, when you are coming to ask God for mercy, you also lost it. So you'll be doing something like this. Like, will they throw me out? Will they not? It's not that you don't know that they will not throw you out, but that's the experience, that's the feeling. May you never outgrow it. Because somebody there is feeling like, you people are very legalistic. This God, the way when they do me no day like that, too. You are lost. You are lost. You are in a bad place. You are going past sensitivity. It's a sign of leprosy in the spirit. Your fingers will chop off, you will not be aware. Because you have your nerves are no longer active, they are not working, they are dead. And believe me, that's not a good place to be. Because the ability to feel pain is a gift from God in a fallen world. I hope you know that the ability to feel pain is a gift from God in a fallen world. If you have gone past the ability and capacity to feel pain, you are dead. You are in bigger trouble than the person that is still sensitive to feel pain. So when you've lost that thing that registers, it's not a good place to be. Lift up your right hand. I want you to talk to God. I don't know what the word is. I want you to assume. I want you to invite. Maybe that helps. I want you to invoke upon yourself the government of the Spirit. Run my life. Run my life. Always, you will run my life, Spirit of the Living God. You will run my life always. You will run my life, Spirit of the Living God. You will run my life. You will run my life. Oh, Spirit of the Living God. You will run my life. Yahweh. Come and run, come and run, oh Spirit of the Living God. Come and run my life, Yahweh. Come and run, oh. Come around, oh.
of the living God. You will run my life, Yahweh. You will rule. Spirit of the living God, you will rule my life, Yahweh. You will rule
my life. Spirit of the living God, you will rule my life, Yahweh.
Seek to honor
His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Can you lift up your right hand wherever you are? Can you make a personal commitment to Jesus? Labor not for meat that perishes. Can you bring yourself consciously, intentionally, under His government? Because listen to me, of the increase of His government and of His peace, there shall be no end. Willingly or unwillingly, before Him every knee will bow someday, and to Him every tongue will confess. Let us not wait until it becomes inevitable. As an act of your will, can you decide today to say, Jesus, you will run my life. You will run my life. I can trust my life to you. Unless you semina to akavelasko brifila to anako velamina. Ibrinisi samia lakwa tene kasko brikate. Aranisa selimina fwa tagabande. Aresko frika toa sisi aleme kadio kabarana. Now, Lord, we ask that our prayers be set before you as incense. And let the lifting up of our hands be like the evening oblation. Let it ascend before you as a perpetual memorial. Let our prayers be set before you as incense. Let the lifting up of our hands, let it be like the evening sacrifice. Let it be written today. Let it be captured for a perpetual memorial that we handed to you the rule, the administration, the governing, the governance, the government of our lives. Aria somila qua tamenantes. Anesesimila kwatabe rotoski. Barioski marakotaska libreketa. Mafetasili katia. Kabele sobarakome. Arena sesalia katones kebora. Arones kabia kutena sasele. Aromo sesalia kotena. I need you to know that God will answer. When you say, run my life, He will answer. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to you. Efeneskape, Avelene tomokate. Grate na sesia la barata. Bele naskebo. Let my prayer be said before you. Let the lifting up of my hand be like the evening sacrifice. Efelena siara da kumberatia so. Belia takamia tunakatua la bani. Morene skeria katia. Evilimina se salo. Areso sayoka. Evreteske. Evri atana sali. Arakuata telemene sesialabo. Arese salio kaparetaske. Aranso selia tenaskebo. Aremeskebo katalia kateneske labo. Papa paparata. Papa paparate. Avini sesimina Brenea tometa la katwa la basale. Aye! Iria seile mene tagabara tu sase. Befete naski. Befiritala. Befonia sose. Bofo tata. Bofo dadi. Periotus kandi. Liminas ke profena kasu selia taba. Evini se semino toa kabu. Run my life, Spirit of the Living God. You can rise to your feet. If you are not kneeling, you can rise. Evene salimina fania kofenes ke profetase. Evenis ka profas kabia kutenas ke lombre ketuna kadune goto. Grinene kombatrasi sila kuatamo. Brenesi seile moko fefenia tagabara kune kenteske libri kiti akabo. In the name of Jesus, let our prayers be said before you as incense, and the lifting up of our hands like the evening sacrifice. O thou that hearest prayer, unto you all flesh come. There are five people under the sound of my voice. And I sense that two of you are following us online. You're part of the online community. And about three of you are here on site. And I heard the Lord say, I give you places. I give you places. God is making an allocation or spiritual grant. I told you he would answer. God is making an allocation or spiritual grant. One of you, God is about to give you a place in the healing ordination, in the healing protocol of the Spirit. Two of you are online, you are going to feel a very strong anointing come upon you. Your body will begin to vibrate. Two persons online. One of you is coming under a very strong prophetic intercessory grace online. It's coming upon you. It's something the Lord has spoken to you. It's something you've tried to do. But you are receiving an allocation in that regard in this moment. And there are three of you under the sound of my voice. I can see one of you. I don't know who the other two are. Jesus, you said you will answer. And I ask now. You said, I give you places. 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 Now. 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 Step into an ordination now. Evini sira nika nokove nekadia sirini kabarana. Brakas kelambri finia sili mi konveta. Boriose sagini kabario kopa. Amene kome se salia kabinato. Yes. There's someone the Lord is releasing upon you, a staff of spiritual authority, a staff of spiritual authority. Iana kobana tua makabino soberatali. Arekwa taka kwa katuna kakwa kutakate. Gekwe kadi kidi kado kodo kudia kadeneko. Aresko velania si silama tua kabe. Wherever you are, I want you to pray in 20 seconds. Just say, Lord, let it come. Lord, let it come. Just say, Lord, let it come. And pray in the Holy Ghost for 20 seconds. I need to confirm something in the moment. Lord, let it come. Abra foske brofatini katua kabalanda. Meveneske brofatisi siki kate kodo kado kabe. Aresko faniata, arioski brakatwa kabe, beresko pania tagia, berioska pario kato, ia te solimoko vala. Let it come. Behold, I give you places. Behold, I give you places. Behold, I give you places. There's a prophet online. Someone following me online is receiving the rod of a prophet. A coronation is taking place now. Behold, I give you places. Elimina sesalio taba aria cantas kiba ileskebo ebrene salima kwatame barakatunas ke profete kuta belia katos ke brakatwa katena kaso berekotamba pario kote katalia. Barikana se saila mekote malane. Behold, I give you places. I give you places. I give you places. I give you places. Endowments are still being released. Allocations are still being given. Behold, I give you places. Online, on site, I give you places.
Overflow me again. Overflow me. Overflow me again. Overflow me. Overflow me again. Where Joshua is sang.
Overflow me.
Come.
Overflow me,
overflow me again, overflow me, overflow me again,
overflow me,
overflow me, overflow me again,
overflow me, overflow me again,
overflow me,
overflow me,
overflow me again,
overflow me,
overflow
me again,
over,
overflow me again. Ah, overflow me, overflow me again. I hear your voice.
Here I am standing, Lord.
Overflow me.
Somebody help. I need an usher here.
I hear your voice.
For the Lord hears you. For the Lord responds to private petitions of your heart. And that which I can tell you in public is the Lord says that is bringing to you clarity and confidence in your visions. Clarity and confidence of your visions. Your visions will be clearer. And you will be more confident in the credibility of your visions. Clarity and confidence of your visions. And the things that you have heard the Lord say, believe them. Because you heard well. And I release now upon you. Yes, it's coming. It's coming upon you already. It's coming. Yes, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's a deluge. It's a deluge. Yes. Yes. It's a deluge. 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 Because he answers. He answers. Wherever you are, can you place your right hand on your belly for a moment? He answers. He answers. The supernatural is imminent upon us. And out of your belly, rivers of living water will flow. It doesn't matter if you are in Ireland, or you are in Shendam, or you are in Jos, or you are in Lagos, or you are in California, or you are in the Bahamas. Place your right hand on your belly. Out of that belly, rivers are destined to flow. And measures are beginning to find expression. Place your right hand on your tummy. And listen to me. Mm.
Lord is distributing burdens. Burden. 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 On site, online, burden. 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 Yes, 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 yes. Burden. Belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Yeah, yeah, oh. Burdens, burdens out of your belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Out of your belly, say, your belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Out of your belly, Tehillah. Rivers, rivers, rivers of living water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Out of your belly, your belly shall flow. Rivers, rivers, rivers of living water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Out of your belly, Abia Somara Qua Candesilla Bora Casso Celia Tano. Allocations, 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 allocations. Allocations, 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 allocations. Yeah! Yes, 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 yes. Rivers, rivers of living water. Out of your belly flow. Living water, E-I-E-I-A.
belly.
South flow rivers, rivers of living waters.
And your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In the mighty name of Jesus. If his kibra fona salia kutanakoba brakanda sila kwa taimo kamvre kateske lambe brinia serina kombe naskibro felia kaso sale barakutes kabri katasi saila barakandas baresko brakia katuna kambra fakiko palame berio kompe naskibra katikambo katino kobe. Barakwa katina salio kabaranane. Ini ni komio so kadi kakala. Iyo nono kuna tuaneneko. Boroko so selia kadi okadi. Yes. 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 No mouse. Yes. Yes. Grace and glory. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. The seed of the righteous will be great upon the earth. Yes, yes. Hear you the word of the Lord. So shall it be. In grace, in strength, in power. Everything normalizes, 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 normalizes. Arias Capro Falakatu Akadi. If you are a parent under the sound of my voice, I'd like you to pray for your children, whether you are online or you are on site. If you are close to them, I'd like you to place your hand upon their heads. I need you to pray in the next 20 seconds, wherever you are in this place. If you are a lady and you hope to have children someday, you may want to place your hand upon your belly. If you are a man and you hope to have children someday, you may want to place your hands upon your loins. And liminis ke profetakwa. Arakatwa katwa kati. Belina kasko brakatwata. Barakatwa kwa katune kaska. We bring them under the government of Yahweh. Our children will not stray. Our children will not stray. Aleya kumela tuakaba. Barakatuata. Berekatamako. Bario kakwata. Bario kapario. Our children will not stray. Our children will not be wayward. Our children, they know the Lord. Our children, they serve the Lord. Great shall be the peace of our children. None of them will be a vagabond. None of them will be prodigal. Yana samira kwata. We declare the covenant of God upon their lives. Ekenas kebra fati akamba. Aresko berakwati. Thank you. shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Yeah, yeah, oh. I'm prophesying over your children. Out of their bellies shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where's that? Where's that lady? There's somebody under the sound of my voice. You are threatened with thoughts of barrenness. Satan has harassed you so badly. So badly that you will not have children. I want you to come out here. I want you to come out. If you are in the hall, I want you to come out here. I don't know. You are not. I don't even think you are married. You are a lady, but you are constantly harassed by thoughts of barrenness. Come out. Rivers of living water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm prophesying over your children online and on site. Out of their bellies shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you live with the same fear online, I'm going to pray for you. Out of their bellies of your children shall flow rivers, oh,
rivers of living waters. E-I-E-I-E.
One more time. Out of the bellies of your children. That's what I mean.
Out of their bellies shall flow rivers,
rivers of living waters.
As the river flows,
it begins to bring every death into life.
It's a life-giving river, so let it flow right here, right now.
Two more times.
As the river flows, it begins to bring every death into life. It's a life-giving river, let it flow right here, right now.
As the river flows,
as the river flows, it begins to bring every death into life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now.
Out of your bellies shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eviski brafatasko belatwa. The hand of the Lord is mighty to save. The hand of the Lord is mighty to heal. There are healing operations of grace that are going on in this house. Some of you are following online. The healing power of Jesus is dealing with systemic issues. Issues that have big names. Disorders. Right now. The hand of the Lord brings you relief from infirmity and from adversity. The hand of the Lord brings you relief from oppression and from disease. The hand of the Lord brings you relief from disorders and from maladies in the name of Jesus. The protocol of reversal is still in place. Everything that Satan instituted that is not of God, tonight we reverse. We reverse. We reverse. Oh, wow. There are people that are fear, that have the fear of marriage. For some of you, Satan has said to you, you will not get married. And some of you, Satan has said to you, your marriage will be a wreck.
I'd like to say to you tonight that Satan lied. Yes, Satan lied. And this night, I relieve you from that fear that the enemy has sponsored into your vessel. You are permanently relieved from it. On sight, you are relieved from it. Online, you are relieved from it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Tokens of wealth. I just heard the Lord say, tokens of wealth. The Lord will place in the hands of several of you tokens of wealth. Tokens of wealth. And as your compliance with government improves, your allocation on that regard will also improve. God will find you a trusted treasurer. Yes, a trusted treasurer. A trusted custodian. A trusted steward. But he says tokens of wealth. Some of you are going to stumble, as it were, in quote, you are going to stumble into mind-blowing, wealth-creating ideas. And as you follow through, you will see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. The miracle of right placement, the miracle of the right words, the miracle of meeting the right people, the miracle of arriving at the right time. You will see miracle after miracle after miracle. And in a moment of time, your status will so be altered that even to you, it will be like a dream. Tokens of wealth. Lord, I declare on site and online, everyone that you have so penciled to release this dispensation of your grace upon. Father, I ask that now, let the toga of that ordination, let it come upon them. Let the toga of that ordination, let it come upon them. In the name of Jesus, I see allocations of favor. Allocations of favor. Ushers, please help them. Allocations of favor. And I want you to receive with your spirit. Receive with your spirit. Allocations of favor. Tokens of wealth. Togas of wealth is released upon you. In a dream of the night, you will have an elaborate idea. You will wake up with full recollection. It will be to the intent that God will put you on a map as far as the world of finance is concerned. And it will be because the Lord trusts your compliance with the government of His Spirit. Trusted treasurers, trusted treasurers, trusted treasurers are emerging, says the Spirit of the Lord. Some of you will handle the kind of wealth that you could never have dreamt of. You will. There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of burden that you carry in your heart that has to do with the things of God, the work of God, the projects, the programs of God. The call of God upon your life looks like it's something. How can God be saying this to me and I don't have the wherewithal? God is going to bring you enablement in the mighty name of Jesus. When the days break and you grow fat, may you remember He by whom you rose, even the Lord of hosts, in the name of Jesus. For He is the Lord your God that gives us power to make wealth, so that He might establish the covenant that He had made with our fathers. That's the intent. May you not go off the rails when the days break, in the mighty name of Jesus. Belly si semen vonahates. I have a few very important announcements, but before that, I just want you to pray in the Holy Ghost for 20 seconds. There's unfinished business here. Very important announcement. Those of you online, I'd like for you to stay with me. This is a ceremony. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. As a young lady, I see the Lord drop coals of fire in your hands. And I heard transformative fires. You will be an instrument of transformation for a lot of people. There will be unusual grace released by your life to people that are struggling with moral issues, addictive issues, transformative fires. And whoever you are, if you have a part in that ordination, the fire will drop. On site, online, the fire will drop. I actually see some of you talking to people that are considering some kind of surgeries because of some kind of a sense of orientation. LGBTQ++++ related. And there will be radical grace by your life, by which people on encounter will lose all of the vestige, the last dregs of whatever pushes them in that manner. It's a fire that brings transformation. Wherever you are, if you have a part of it, receive it now. Yes, Jesus. In faraway places, right here in this auditorium. Yes. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Father. As we do all of this, the healing power of Jesus still moving in this house. Father, we give you praise forever. In Jesus' name.